This week on RSVNB Update, it's patch week with the news that Elite Dungeon 2 is being polished and released on August 13th. We'll discuss why this is a good decision, plus examining Twitch Prime and what is this new undisclosed MMO that Jagex is working on. This is RSVNB Update, episode 681, recorded Thursday, July 26th, 2018, high and dry in July. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us once again for RSVNB Update. Tanis and myself are back, as we are each and every week. Welcome back.
Thank you, Shane.
Week number two of doing this with video here on RSVNB Update. Last week's reception was actually pretty good. I am pleased that people enjoyed what we were doing with this. So, and we survived from a technical perspective, which...
You never know.
Which I was
until
worried
happens,
about.
Right?
Yeah, I was really worried about that. So we're gonna, you know, continue to refine this, and as we go along the way, we'll hopefully nail it down. But so this week was a very quiet week on RS, except for what the community was talking about. But we'll get to that in just a little bit. So
yeah.
You know, this week was an interesting week from a U-turn perspective, but we'll talk about that in a little bit, I think, because when it comes down to it, I don't think we've had as big of a U-turn as this since the Menafos issue, right?
Yeah, that's been part of it. But the Menafos was such a... It was so different because I feel like that was a, it was different. It was this. There's so much rumor and conjecture mixed in with this turn that it's hard to separate it out. It's hard to pull the threads and figure out where we really are at and what is the actual case and what is really going on and, you know, what can we do to help? What can make it better? Menafos we knew. Like, Menafos is like, yeah, XYZ is broken, fix this. And in this situation, I'm not exactly sure what we do here.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, when it comes down to it with this week, the core update, aside from the patch notes, is that Diango has a selection of new items now, following in from the life cycle of Treasure Hunter update. So if you go talk to Diango this week for free now, you can pick up the Astromancer outfit, the Coronet of Autumn, Spring, Summer, and Winter, which were initially used to make the Crown of Seasons. You can also get the Gnome Baller's Tunic and Shorts, as well as the Large Gnome Ball, as well as the Godless Ceremonial Robe. So these are some new items that, you know, anyone can just pick up in Treasure Hunter. And I think that's doing a good thing for the community. Just these old Treasure Hunter items that are gone and will probably never be heard from again. Here they are.
Yeah, it was a nice little surprise, and I'm glad we got something out this week anyway.
Yeah. So, you know, you just head on over to Diango, pick those up if they're at all interesting to you. I think the Astromancer outfit looks pretty good. Let me just have a look here and see what that ultimately looks like.
And now, Shane, do we have to go to Diango for these items, or can we just access them through our bank like we've been doing since earlier this year?
You know, that's a good question. I think because they're new items, you'll probably need to go purchase them.
Okay.
But I'm not
100%
sure.
That's kind of what I was
thinking. So. All right. So let's just move on into the patch notes for this week, because that is where the core of the update is. And I think we should talk about some of these before we get into the meat of the matter this week. So this week was apparently Mod Shawnee's real birthday, because, you know, they always love talking about Mod Shawnee's birthday and whether or not it actually is. So it was indeed Mod Shawnee's birthday this past Monday. So he did say that. Happy birthday to me. Ahem. Anyways, and here's the patch notes for the week. So starting off, fixed an issue that caused the minimap quick prayer button graphic to become incorrectly displayed. The ribbon in legacy mode will no longer show highlighted icons when an inventory is not open. And, you know, I think we often forget about legacy mode because we don't really know many people who use the legacy UI. But lo and behold, here we are. It's something that's important. And this was bugged with last week's update, so that's been fixed. Now, a reversal on some of the changes made to quest lamps earlier in the year. They removed the skill requirement to rub the following XP lamps, and they're from Dragon Slayer for 40 defense and 40 strength, that requirement. 35 strength and Haunted Mine, 28 smithing for the Knight's Sword. That one's a big one because previously the lamp from that quest would allow you to skip a large portion of the smithing skill. And, you know, when we looked into that, we said, hey, the rework is on the way, and maybe, you know, this is a way of having, or rather preventing people from skipping that part of the skill. So there's also 14 cooking from Gertrude's cat, and I don't know. What do you think? Do you think that having the limits in place is a good thing or not?
You know, I don't think you miss out on a lot of content when you skip like that. Now, if we ever get to a point where the skills are fleshed out the way that they're supposed to be, if mining and smithing goes the way that it's supposed to, then fine. But as it stands now, I mean, I would be hard pressed to think of a difference between 1 and 28 smithing. What, you know, it's
and I mean, the Knight's Sword. That's not an introductory quest right off the bat. So,
no, it's not. And can people have something for doing the quest?
I mean, it's a good thing for Iron Man too, right?
Oh yeah, I mean, when you first, no matter what the account is, whether you're starting an all or you're doing an Iron Man, whatever the case may be, quests are the best and quickest way to level up your character in the beginning. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, continuing on, 14 cookie for Gertrude's cat, 10 combat for Vampire Slayer, 10 prayer for Priest and Peril. That one was interesting, seeing as that is the quest that it introduces you to Mauritania. Now, 4 attack, 4 defense, 4 strength, 4 crafting for In Aid of the Myrek, and I mean level 4. That one definitely should not have been there.
Yeah. Well, and In Aid of the Myrek, that takes a... Yeah, that's not an introductory quest either. That takes a while to get to.
4 constitution and 4 defense for Soulsbane. 3 constitution, 3 defense, and 4 crafting for Nature Spirit. And, you know, the only ones I think I have concerns about on here is the Knight's Sword and maybe the Haunted Mine. And I think you're going to have the 40 defense requirements by the time you do Dragon Slayer. Those are my only real concerns for these.
Yeah, that... I don't know. I mean, Haunted Mine, that... See, to me, some of these quests were not fun, and they were difficult, so...
Really?
What? I didn't think the Haunted Mine was fun. I mean... That had some, like, puzzles and stuff.
All of these quests on here are classics that I greatly enjoyed.
I didn't say they weren't enjoyable, but they weren't.
Except for Gertrude's cat, that one was annoying.
Yeah, and see, I didn't mind as much as like, I just remember Haunted Mine being a real pain. So I think you should be, you know, you should get something out of that. I don't know. I think it's the least of our problems.
All right, fair enough.
So I'll go with it,
all right, moving on then. Fixed an issue with Slisige's endgame replayability where the interactions tab would appear to be clickable when the player had not selected the interactions tick box. Some small QOL changes were made to the menu itself to improve its interaction and look in legacy mode. And I don't know why. I thought I was almost just reading that there with Mod Raven's inflection.
I know why it took so long for him to figure out there was a bug there.
Yeah, because, you know, when this update came out, only 200-odd people replayed it.
And that happened once. How many people do you think did it more than that?
I did it twice.
You're probably the only one.
No, I know. I know people who did it twice because of Clad Quest, obviously, right?
But, right. So, yeah. So, I mean, you would know. Being in Clan Quest, if there were a group that was going to do it, that would be it.
And I could say that we probably accounted for 30 to 50% of the replays of that quest.
Yeah. So, out of all the quests,
and
you know.
I would say, actually, no, let's put Clan Quest at 30 to 40%. And then I would say another 30 to 40% came from the lore channel. And then the other 10 to 20% were just people who randomly stumbled upon it, I would say. That would be my guess.
You know, I get it from a lore perspective, but when you think about quest replayability, how on earth did we end up with Broken Home and Slitsky's Endgame? Couldn't we got something fun? Like a fun quest?
Like Elemental Workshop.
I said something fun.
Oh, boy. Okay. So an issue has been fixed with the luck message for receiving a sealed clue scroll when you could be given one even when you're already at your soft cap for that tier of clue. Anyone who fights abyssal demons with a ring of luck of the dwarves will know that, namely me. So that's been fixed. Adjusted blow a kiss between the tables at the Shiloh Village Bank clue scroll area. Not entirely sure what they would have adjusted with this, but I'm guessing they just made it bigger because I seem to remember there being parts of this that were a little bit difficult to use. So,
yep.
The ability to claim your Ocean's Bounty rewards from Rune Pass have been added to Diango until 2359 on the 23rd of July. So that's coming up quick for anyone who's listening to this, as it has now passed.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute, wasn't that Sunday? Monday?
Yeah, so that was a bit interesting to see that in the patch notes. The Hex Hunter Bow's passive bonuses will now work against Siryu. And, you know, we've been looking ever since the beginning of this year for reasons for the Hex Hunter Bow to be used. Well, here's another one. I don't know if anyone's jumping up and down about it, but hey.
We'll have to ask David, right?
Yeah,
see if it's
actually
viable.
Now some changes to Solak. They made some of the cosmetic drops that you can get from him more common. So Mirathil's staff changed to 1 out of 500, effigies to 1 out of 100, Triskelions to 1 out of 100, clue scrolls to 1 out of 100, Cinderbane gloves to 1 out of 1,000, and the purple mushroom changed to 1 out of 500. So these are all changes for Solak. It'd be interesting to see how many people are still fighting that guy.
Well, how many people still need the comp cape? And that'll tell you how many people are still fighting it.
True. The items kept on Death Interface will no longer list the Demonic Skull as a protected item. Of course, that's never protected. That's the whole reason to go into the wilderness and get rich. And you are no longer able to alk or disassemble Scrolls of Knowledge. Do you know what a Scroll of Knowledge is?
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, neither have I. That one was a little bit weird for me. And, you know, normally when you first pull these things up, you expect something to appear. But when I Googled this, RuneScape wasn't the first one. And it turns out that the Scroll of Knowledge is actually a reward from defeating the Gnome Champion. And after killing him, you basically get 10,000 XP in any combat skill above level 50 from this scroll.
Oh. Okay.
So it's related to those challenges.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
10,000 XP. Wow.
Whoop-de-doo.
Wow. That's...
Okay. Moving into the ninja fixes here, the KBD has received instanced kill timers for how long you're going to be fighting it. A warning will now appear when attempting to leave the agility pyramid without claiming the pyramid top reward, which makes sense. I mean, you don't want to work your way all the way up to the top there and run away with nothing. And for those of you guys who haven't done Menaphos, jugs of water have been added to Shanty, Beefy Bill, and Jossick's shop. So basically a way of ensuring that you're not going to die of thirst in the desert. So,
but if you do the quest, you won't have to worry about that anyway,
right?
Yeah,
that's right. It's part of the whole reputation system for that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you're ready to move on to the meat of the week that everyone's getting all excited about this week, and that is a new dev blog on Elite Dungeons, and in particular the fact that we were supposed to be getting Elite Dungeon 2 next week on the 30th, but it has been announced that that will no longer be the case, and we are now getting it on August 13th. So basically, this past week, the team that's developing this ran through another playtest of the content, and they basically felt that the second and third boss battles weren't polished and not to the degree that the team would expect or would expect the players would like to have on this update. So as a result of this, the decision was made to do another polish pass, balance pass of the entire thing, and they said, can we do this by bringing more developers onto the project? And the answer to that was no, because anytime you have a project running and you are looking to add people to it, you need to make sure that those people know the project and how the code works on the project itself. And just the amount of time necessary before the release, so 1 week, wouldn't have been enough time to do that. And you know, this is fairly common in software, is that if you need to make changes to this and you want to look at adding in more people, it's a question of, is it more beneficial to bring people in and train them on how it works, or should we just delay it a little bit more, delay our release, and you know, do it ourselves because we're intimately familiar with the code, and that's ultimately the path that they decided to go with here. Now, in addition to this, they are feeling the need to impart a, quote, small bonus to the players with this, and basically with this, they want to bring in additions that won't affect the polishing time, but will make the release a little bit more full. And remember, we're already getting the full tier 92 magic set of armor from this, so the tier 92 power armor. So this will also allow them to bring in some of that feedback that came through with the Temple of Amanishi and bring the Dragonkin Laboratory rewards up to par. Now, because of this, you're also going to be getting, in addition to the planned Fury mutated ability, you're also going to get a mutated barge ability. So we got Fury and Flurry, and if you guys watch the weekly bite or you guys pay attention to our Patreon page, you'll know that when I was recording the weekly bite this week, there was actually a bit of a typo with my mouth. So I did.
And we know how much you like them, right? I mean, everybody loves flurries, right?
No. Okay. Oh. That's not what we were talking about. But anyways, you can get the full clip of that on the Patreon page at patreon.com/RSBNB. But in any case, so we're going to get a mutated barge ability in addition to mutated Fury and Flurry. Also, general loot improvements, including buffs to the existing relics that you'll get that you'll either disassemble or high elk. More achievements for the Elite Dungeon, and an Elite title for those who complete all Elite Dungeon achievements. What do you think of that?
That's fine. You know, I don't have a problem with titles. Titles are like outfits to me. Like, I think you got to have the right title to go with the right outfit. That's fine.
Yeah.
No problem.
And I mean, this might be a way that they're going in the future. Do you think RuneScape can become an achievement-focused game?
I think it's going to have to.
Okay.
If you don't do prestige, then you're going to have to do something else.
Rune score achievements, which we got, and you know, they've been slowly filling them in, but
right, but what does that mean? See, because no one, you know, when it comes down to it, you talk about XP when you're talking with your friends, it's like, oh, I just hit 80 mil XP and whatever, you know, or this or that. No one goes, oh man, I just hit 3K rune score.
Right.
I mean, half people would be like, what's the rune score? Where's that at? You know. So I think it could be the right way because eventually as we get older, I mean, we're not losing XP. We're only going to keep gaining. And if Treasure Hunter keeps going the way it is, they're going to have to look at something other than XP eventually.
Yeah.
Or prestige. maybe we get a rehash of Prestige.
Yeah, I did mention that at one point or another numerous times, but we'll have to wait and see how people respond to these achievements, because I don't know if people would have liked to have, you know, grinded Temple of Amanishi for all those rewards and whatnot to get this title and achievements, so.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if anyone would grind it at all, really.
Yeah. Now, here's one that really was a bit surprising here. Additional rewards that affect other content like Slayer and Shifting Tombs.
Huh? I'm confused. I don't get it.
It's like, how does Shifting Tombs relate to a dungeon that is in the wilderness?
It doesn't have any Dragonkin connection. It doesn't have any. I'm confused.
See Slayer. I mean, there's lots of dragons in Slayer, so that's fine. But Shifting Tombs.
Well, and even Slayer, there's one dungeon that has some specialized kind of dragons.
The Celestials?
Well, that one, but there's the one, under the Whirlpool or whatever, that actually has the Dragonkin lab in it, or that place we went.
The Dragonkin Forge with the Mithril dragons and whatnot, where those are. Yeah.
So, I mean, I can see a connection there. Okay. But Shifting Tombs? Huh? I don't know.
I have no idea. We're also getting a pet that'll be purchasable with Dungeoneering tokens.
Okay. We haven't had one of those in a while.
No, and I mean people like Petscape, right?
Oh, I love Petscape. We just want somewhere to put them. You can only have, like, what, 15 or 20 or something like that? Yeah. It's not enough.
Now comes the point of this post where Jagex is honest with themselves and honest with the community. We are very aware that July has been virtually empty of content releases. It's far from what you expect and what we aim for. We want to make sure that there is still a game update on the 30th, so we will be bringing you a clan improvements week along with the already planned beach. These are the highly requested clan features that clans themselves have suggested. And I just want to say that at this point, I totally understand what they were doing with this news post. And it is okay to delay content to make it better. I just want to underscore that mm-hmm. we are personally happy with that. And I would much rather have a piece of content come out that is fixed and optimized and balanced rather than having to do, you know, two balance passes in the subsequent weeks like other pieces of content. So this, so far, was indeed a good news post here. And, you know, I think it's a little bit unfortunate that people had to wait this long and we didn't have a full update in July. But at the same time, this is the response that an update needs if it was going to be mediocre. I would much rather have this than a mediocre update.
Well, and it's one of those things, you're damned if you do and damned if you don't, right? So if they put it out and they got a bunch of criticism, that wasn't, you know, that wouldn't be good.
And it comes down to the PR battle, too. Like, they said, you know, July was completely empty, and they're right on that. I mean, what do we had? We had Patch Week, Account Security Week, Rune Pass.
Yeah, there's been nothing. Yeah. Nothing in July. And so these clan updates, so that's all the that's Shawnee's work that we saw in the stream.
Stream last week. These include Orts being converted to Citadel boosters. So when you first log in, you'll be given clan Citadel boosters in relation to the number of Orts you've gathered. Yay me, I've been collecting everyone that's dropped for the last number of years. And I don't really use the avatar because it was always annoying to go and find one. Clan chat muting. You can mute people rather than kicking them from the chat, so that's fun. The avatar rework, no longer limited to admins or higher, needing to have an avatar out, and you can have your own avatar pet. And we talked about all the benefits on this last week, but basically it's a 3% base boost with a jump up to 6% if you have fealty rank 3, clan messages of the day, clan broadcasts, and improvement to clan functions, including the notice board, clan chat, and clan citadel. So there's that.
Yeah.
They also say they'll be giving every member several elite dungeon rewards on the launch of the Dragonkin Laboratory. These will include drop enhancers and dungeoneering tokens, and will be gainable by talking to Brill, Thought's daughter, outside of the Dragonkin Laboratory.
Ooh, we get dungeoneering tokens?
Yeah. Yeah, that's nice, isn't it?
Any way I can get them, I'll take them.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool. And, you know, I think the community has been a little bit unfair on this update as well, because when it comes down to it, people were expecting an update every week that the game is in existence. But I think we need to have an honest discussion, and I think the players should also have an honest discussion out there that, you know, there are going to be weeks with no patch notes and whatnot. And, you know, I think one thing that the community does that they shouldn't be doing is that they often link the fact that there is no updates with, oh, they're just pushing Treasure Hunter updates, right? Like that is something that you see. You see that linkage happening. But when it comes down to it, I don't think that that's you can't really compare those two things because they're two different categories of updates, right? Am I wrong in that thinking?
No, I think it's easy to link them together, though, because when you have the absence of one, then you've got more of a focus on the other. It's, you know, you notice it more.
Yeah, people are going to do that.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think I tend to agree with you there. But and maybe we'll talk about this later. Maybe there needs to be a little bit more linkage in Jagex HQ between Treasure Hunter and the main game, kind of knowing what one hand is doing, and you know, because sometimes it seems like, you know, the left hand don't know what the right hand's doing, and that doesn't always work out well for you know, from an optics perspective or even a game perspective sometimes. Yeah.
So what do we say to people who say that this is inexcusable? You can't come out and say July has been virtually empty of content releases. It's far from what you expect and what we aim for. You can't say that when you're putting out Treasure Hunter promos week after week and Rune Pass. What do we say to those people?
No, I think it's exactly what they said. I mean, I don't see what they didn't address. Look, you're going to have Treasure Hunter every week. That's its own thing, right? So, this month is barren. It's been barren, but you got to remember that we have had a really good year so far. We've had some really good updates. They have been steadily doing a good job, and we don't want to, like, the first time that they're stumbling a little bit, we can't just go after them and go right for the throat, you know? I don't think that's helpful.
Because I think to date, 2018 has been pretty good. I mean, they've been good on updates. They've been good on update quality until Temple of Amanishi, I think, because that did need that balance pass. And, you know, there was some criticism of the Hall of Memories in June, but that was meant to be a minor update. And, you know, they were also really good on PR up until Rune Pass week.
Yeah.
And, you know, hopefully this post here is striking the right note. You know, the only way I think you could make this better is if you went back to providing a state of the game kind of update at the end of every month. You know, they did this when the bots were happening. They basically would say, you know, we're doing this on bots. This is how we're progressing. We can tell you this. We can't tell you this. We're going to be deploying a large update in, you know, 2 to 3 months, so on and so forth, which ultimately did squash all of them. So they could be doing something like that in terms of Treasure Hunter, how the updates are progressing. And I think also if you look at the live streams, you see all these live streams and whatnot. And these live streams do showcase content that is in development.
Yeah. I you know, it's just, it's fair to say that there hasn't been anything, and that's what gets people, you know, kind of riled. But we are getting the streams, and I think we know what we should know. We might even know more than we should know sometimes. So
yeah, I don't think really it's easy if you read between the lines.
Yeah,
which we'll talk about a little bit after, I think.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah,
you know, it's just a matter of, we can't have something like at all times. And when you think about it, maybe Jagex should. No, I'm not saying expansions or anything like that. But if they were to take a 1 month break where you didn't hear something, where it was just patches or whatever, when we got used to that, once a year, there's going to be a dry month, and you knew when that was going to be. They knew when that was going to be, and you could schedule around that. They could schedule around that. It might be something to think about. Hell, they already work more than Congress, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and I bet they have a higher approval rating too.
Yeah, even on Reddit, I would imagine.
So, and you know, if anyone from JX is listening to this, you know, we are sympathetic to this because I know how the software development cycle works, and I don't like to see things that are hideously bad. And you know, I'm using one of those hideously bad things, in my view. And you know, you and I were discussing this pre-show, and you know, you said you like OBS, and I was, you know, how can anyone like this piece of software?
Because it's easy to use.
And see, for me, I find it completely the opposite of easy to use. And it's just using that as an example, is that, you know, you can see something as good or you can see something as bad in terms of a game or a piece of software, and it's all informed by the players' perspectives around them. And I think it's at points when we have all those live stream showcases and whatnot, we are seeing into Jagex of what they are currently working on. And that's telling them what the developers like and what the developers are happy to show off and what Modshani is happy to show off, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there is a group of people out there, the people who are skeptical of this news post, the people who are skeptical of Treasure Hunter, the people who are skeptical of Rune Pass, that need to be looked after as well. And, you know, with the appropriate news posts, with the appropriate updates, with the appropriate live streams, it is well within the possibility to guide people to a place where everyone is happy. And I think that's, you know, kind of where we were headed up until Rune Pass week. And we'll have to wait and see where things go in the next week, if, you know, rumblings are accurate on various Treasure Hunter. There we go. I said it on various Treasure Hunter promotions that are on the way.
Well, and it's hard to have two. So they were doing okay, but then you basically have three back-to-back hiccups. And in our opinion, one of those hiccups is actually not bad. A delay is not always a bad thing. We've repeatedly say, you know, we want the better quality rather than push something out. But to other people, it may, you know, you have, it starts with Rune Pass. That started this thing. I don't think Rune Pass was a bad thing, but that's the only update you had. So you have this emptiness, then you have Rune Pass, then you get a delay, and it's just bam, bam, bam. It's back to back to back, and then that starts the snowball effect, and then the echo chamber of the internet begins to swell, and, you know, people grow fangs and horns, and next thing you know, Jagex is the big boogeyman, and everyone forgot everything that happened from January to July.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I don't normally bring real-world aspects into it, but just take a look at what the media in the U.S. is currently talking about. And what were they talking about last
week? Do we have to?
And
Cohen tapes.
Right, yeah. And before that it was the Iran tweet, and before that it was the Russia thing, the Russia meeting. And see, when you have big things happen, and, you know, big things in this case, in the case of RuneScape, being a month of no updates, a microtransactions update that people are skeptical about and maybe some buggy updates, those things make people forget what was in the past. And that's exactly what you said. And it's the battle is not necessarily to ship Elite Dungeon 2 on the 30th of July. That can come out in August, that and it will come out in August. But the battle between now and then is to ensure that people remember Deep Sea Fishing, remember the Clue Scroll update, remember You Are It if they enjoyed those kind of quests, and basically remember all those different kinds of updates to remember that this is at one point in time. And as you are standing in one point in time, things are inevitably going to get better in the future.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was paraphrasing someone like Gandhi or something, but.
The great and wise Shane. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's, own it yourself there, buddy.
Maybe Zenyatta or something from Overwatch. I don't know. But you basically see the point we're trying to make here is that, yes, it seems bad now, but just remember where we came from. And with a little bit of, you know, pacing from the live stream community, you could ultimately end up with something that's a whole lot different than what we got now. So,
yeah. And look, there are things that can be bad. And when it's bad, believe me, we'll tell you. We'll give you our honest opinion when things are not going in the right direction. But, I don't think that's where we're at right now. You know, I mean, had some things came to fruition earlier in the week that we thought could have happened, maybe we'd be having a different discussion. But
you know, I was actually hoping to talk about that because I had an evil idea that could have made everyone, you know, turn their head upside down. But we'll save that if and when this other thing.
We'll save that, and then if it happens, we'll get you a guest spot on Alex Jones because you've obviously nailed down the conspiracy.
Rumor has it he's actually just been banned from YouTube.
Probably a good thing. All right. Hey, Shane, why don't you buy some of my supplements? Aliens with good gay frogs and all that. Yeah.
Maybe we need to start selling RuneScape supplements or something.
There we go. We're missing the boat.
RSP and update becoming the RuneScape version of it. Alex Jones going against the RuneScape subreddit.
We can market Alpha Alt. No. Oh jeez.
Oh. Oh yeah, I guess that could potentially come in as the first video clip of our spin.
Yeah, right.
Are you ready to move on to the next
piece
of news here? So, Twitch Prime, for anyone who has Amazon Prime, basically you're now able to reap the benefits from this starting today, Thursday, July 26th until September 6th. Twitch Prime members can redeem an Umbral pack, and this will include the following items: 1 month of membership, Umbral armor, a flame blade weapon, Umbral Crassian companion pet, not a legendary pet, 2 Umbral chests, and 15 treasure hunter keys. Now, I think the question might be, what is in the Umbral chest? That's probably the big one.
That was my question.
So, you know, let's just have a look at what could potentially come from these. Because I think, let's look at the cosmetics first. What do you think of these? The Umbral armor and the flame blade weapon? I think they look not too bad.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a lot of flaming swords, a lot of flaming, a lot of flamers around here.
Oh, and you also get 15 treasure hunter keys and 200 rune coins.
Oh, well, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's
a nice benefit there. So, yeah. All right. So there's the armor. Now let's see what happens when we look at an Umbral chest. So Umbral chest, since I don't have these, let me just see what you have a chance of getting from them. Umbral chest. So they basically guarantee you a super rare prize, and they are gifted to Twitch Prime members. So these do have a chance at giving you super rare items off a treasure hunter, and these include 200 million GP, the Bad Weather Umbrella, the Balloon Resting Token, the Banhammer, Chic Scarf, Glowbug in a Jar, Hype Train, Lucky Armadillo Skirt, Lucky Bandos Tassets, Lucky Coin, Lucky Toregs, Carl's Garb of Subjugation, Ocean Hunter's Head Token, Ocean Hunter's Leg and Feet Token. Those are sellable on the Grand Exchange, believe it or not.
Cool.
So I'm not seeing anything here that's aside from cosmetics, protein items.
Yeah.
Silver Hawk Feathers, Springs, Helmets.
Mm-hmm.
Protein items again. Let's see. Do we have any lamps or any of that other stuff on here? No, there's no lamps. There's no XP items. It's just, I mean, at the worst case, it's a few protein items.
Well, I mean, it's good. The, Twitch Prime stuff, like I collect that. I mean, you get a little notification up there, like, if there's something that you need to redeem. So I'm always checking that. And just in case people don't know, if you have Amazon Prime, link that to your Twitch. Now you got Twitch Prime. That's going to give you one free sub a month, and you get all this stuff that the games get for free. I've gotten so many games for free through Twitch Prime.
Interesting.
Yeah, Shane, if you don't have it, man, you should connect your stuff, because like I've gotten so many games.
I never looked into Amazon Prime here because, you know, when it came around to Canada, it just didn't seem worth it, because you couldn't get the short shipping time that everyone really talked about. So,
oh, well, yeah, that would be a drawback, but there's a lot of perks to it.
Yeah. Yeah. So. You know, I'm not too fussed about this. It doesn't look too bad.
No, I'm telling you, anything that can draw people from Twitch to RuneScape is a good thing. Like, this is a good use of a promotion. It's in the right place, it's in the right audience, and it's the right stuff. I'm actually not bothered by this at all.
Yeah,
it's smart advertising.
And I mean, I guess the question for it is, how many people using Twitch Prime and are active on Twitch are RuneScape 3 members? Because, you know, Twitch is for RuneScape is a lot more popular for old school. So.
Oh yeah. Oh, tremendously. But one membership will give you the other, right? So, you know, it might get some people to try it. Anyway, it doesn't matter to me, whatever game they play, as long as they're giving Jagex a little bit of change, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So,
And you know, there's lots of cosmetic treasure hunter items on here that are good. And based on the way this table looks, it looks as though the majority of what you'll be getting could potentially be lucky items, which if you're level 90 plus combat, that's going to be, you know, right? So.
Yeah, cash that in.
Yeah.
Cash that in.
So. And, I mean, let's not forget the 200 rune coins as well. So
that is nice.
This
is
actually
a
good bundle.
That's a keepsake right
there.
This
is a really good bundle.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I'm going to have to redeem mine. I haven't redeemed mine yet, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. And you can't purchase the bundle on your own.
Well, see, that's good.
Got to be done exclusively for Twitch, so.
That's good. And they've done some stuff around the edges with this before. We got a Prime pet, you know, before. But I think this is probably better. It's got more useful items and stuff like that.
Yeah, indeed. All right. Well, I think that pretty much sums up the RuneScape news section of the show. There wasn't that much, but hey, I mean, I think we got discuss the core of the matter and what needed to be talked about with this. So we should be fine, I believe.
Yeah, I think we can move on.
Okay. So we're going to move on to questions. We have a discussion topic this week from Whitey, and says, I've been reading posts on your favorite website, and people seem to think that the lack of updates is due to Jagex working on a new MMO. The new MMO is rumored to be RS4 or remastered. Do you guys think that this is a good move, considering the amount of time players have put into RS3? Will they change to this new MMO, and would you change? Well, first and foremost, this means that, oh, there's going to be a new MMO. That first part of this would need to be true. And I think this is a good time to address this, Tanis, isn't it? We've been
following this for months, for a while.
Months. And, you know, I think, you know, I didn't want to talk about this too much until it came into the public sphere, and it is in the public sphere now, I guess you could say. But the reason I didn't want to talk about this is because, you know, there's nothing confirmed about it, and I don't want to be, you know, putting something out there is that it is, you know, this is happening and this is indeed going to be a new MMO. I am not saying that at all. I have zero inclination as to whether or not the rumblings going on about this are true. And this is something that the RSVNB update production team has been discussing for quite some time. Basically, what we did is that we have these, you know, I think they're about quarterly. We have these quarterly producers meetings where we all get together on Discord and we chat for an hour and a half and see what's going on and see where we're all at with RuneScape and where we think things are going and whatnot. And last session we did this was in May, and we basically had a what we called the Jagex's unannounced MMO speculatory session. And I'm going to share what we have from that discussion we all had right now. And keep in mind, this is everyone who contributes to RSVNB updates. So you, Sirion, Tycho was there, Dave, I think a couple others were all there as well. So here's what we know. And this is through my personal research. Mods Ollie, Dag, Dolan, Days, and among others have been put onto a new MMO project. And this project is being led by ModMark. And we all know ModMark has been around with RS since 2002. And, you know, we haven't seen much of him, and he indeed confirmed at Game Jam that he was working on the new MMO. So we have that as confirmed. We know ModMark is attached to the new MMO. These JMods before, when you look at what I did, as I basically went through the list of what all these JMods did, they were all involved in heavy combat updates. Talos, God Wars Dungeon 2, Raids, The Heart, Shattered Worlds, NXT, Dominion Tower, Legacy Mode, and EOC. That's what all of these JMods have been involved in. Now, what has Jagex done, and what has Jagex done in the past in terms of new games? They always go to the game market that is already popular. And we last saw this with RS Chronicle. They were late.
Yep.
So the first thing we were thinking of before it was talked about as an unannounced MMO was that it could have been potentially a RuneScape MOBA. But we know they're calling it an MMO, so we can probably, I'd say with 90% certainty, scratch the MOBA off the list.
And they would, once again, be late because Battle Royale that's now,
is the thing.
You know,
yeah. Now, the other one that was entirely likely is that it's something new for the Asian market, because Jagex wants to get into China with RS Mobile, and, you know, this new game would likely be mobile first, because that is a very popular way of getting into the market in China. But it doesn't make sense in this case to cannibalize the RS3 and old school RS market, and it would have to be something entirely distinct, though still based on the RuneScape product. And, you know, this would definitely get them a foothold into that market. It's a question of would people in North America and the UK be interested in it. Then, of course, is what everyone is talking about. And, you know, we didn't put too much stock in this, and that would be RuneScape 4 or RuneScape Remastered, as people called it and have been calling it since back in the day. And they thought that's what hashtag the announcement was last year, but it wasn't. It was mobile. So This would basically have to, I think, undergo the same path that RuneScape 3 took. It would have to be as seamless as RuneScape 2 to RuneScape 3 was. It would still use the NXT client, because people say, oh, you need a new MMO if you're going to do something like getting rid of the tick system or getting rid of the grid system. No, you don't. They have already looked into getting rid of the grid system when NXT came out. They said it didn't feel like RuneScape, so they didn't do it. They could get rid of the tick system with NXT, but it would basically require re-engineering of the entire game. So basically, anything that comes out at this point is going to use the same technology that the NXT game client is using. And this would essentially be the next step for RS. And then a kind of an off-the-wall idea that came around from the session was a VR-based RuneScape experience, because a couple of RuneFests ago, they did have Prif in VR. And I don't know if that would be that seems like a fairly high barrier to entry. And I don't know if you'd take the combat team for that. So,
well, I mean, come on, you can run RuneScape on a toaster. Are we all of a sudden going to require people to have $2,000 computers to VR?
Yeah.
I
mean, yeah. So, you know, I was leading with the MOBA category, but until we know it's an actual undisclosed MMO, I'm not going to roll that out. Like I said, 90% chance that it is not a MOBA, given the fact that those are kind of fading with the prevalence of Battle Royale now. And, you know, it's good that we're addressing this head on. And I think that if it was to be RuneScape 4, it would effectively have to be a premium version of the game. It would have to have the option to transfer progress over, but you could only transfer your progress over once. You wouldn't necessarily be able to jump back and forth, kind of like they did when RS2 came out after RS Classic. You could choose which game you wanted to be on. I think they would have to go with that option for it. Now, I think based on what we're seeing here, based on what we have with Rune Pass, and we were kind of going to go this direction this week, but we didn't, and there's no need to now. But what if RuneScape 3 effectively becomes the game that is focused around cosmetics and whatnot, and this new MMO is bringing RuneScape back to a peer standpoint? I think if they're going to be doing that, that's what it's going to be. But at the same time, I don't think it can be something not RuneScape related. They've tried that and it didn't work.
With what?
Stellar Dawn.
Don't remember that one.
Yeah,
that was. I know Block and Load didn't work.
Yeah,
but
that.
I mean,
there was another one as well. I forget what it was.
Well, they tried Transformers, but we never even got
Transformers. Right? Yeah.
So we don't even know what that game was like, if it would have been good or not. They didn't think it was good, but I mean, who knows? I think you almost have to take Montmark at his word. He said he's working on a new MMO.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that's probably what it is.
And combat. You know?
And it's going to be, I think combat related. But here's what I'm thinking is there would be – I don't think it's RuneScape 4. I don't see a reason for that. I don't see a remaster. If you want the old style of game, then you're going to play old school.
And if you wanted to remaster RuneScape, you could do it with the current client.
Yeah.
You just need to put the graphical updates in and get people on graphical updates, like the Sears Village graphical update that's been pending for a long time.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case. And I think this is new. And I think it will have the RuneScape name or some kind of connection with RuneScape so that they don't lose that branding. But like you said, they could switch. They could have switched an RS3 to give us no tick rate, no grids, the WSD control. They could have done all that, right?
And they could make the graphics be so much more demanding with this game, so much more involved with it, but they're not doing that because that is not RuneScape. RuneScape has always been a game that is designed to run on the simplest of computers, and it still does.
they have all this stuff that they can do, they want to do, and would be awesome to do.
Right.
But they have a community that would never let it happen, and it would kill their base. It would kill their finances, yeah. Essentially.
And you don't need RuneScape 4 to have superb graphics.
No. I think this will be a new game. I think it'll be a new game. I think it'll be connected to RuneScape, RuneScape adjacent, whatever. But it's not going to be a point and click game. I really, really don't think it's going to be a point and click kind of style that we're used to. And then, I hope that it is the modern a modern MMO like we're used to playing. And it's hard to even say modern anymore, right? Because, I mean, look at the MMOs out there. They've been doing this stuff forever. But I think with mobile, this will definitely have the same kind of like possibility to play. I don't know. This might, you might be right too when it comes to the Asian markets. This might actually be able to break into that. They're able to build this from the ground up, so they're going to have all that like in consideration as they're building this, rather than taking something that is so established and trying to just shove it into it's like they don't have to like take a square peg and shove it around kind of thing.
I think we said that before about this at one point. So, I think that we do hit the nail on the head here with this because I just want to pull this video up here as an example. I got to find it, and it used to be around. Let's see, RuneScape trailer 2015, I think. I forget where it was. I forget where this was, but there was a video once upon a time that Jagex did, and it was in effect some guy walking through Taverly, first person related, and it was just providing a new way to look at RuneScape, and this was before NXT and whatnot, and it looked as though it was almost from a feature film. So
yeah,
I think that if they were going to do this, what they're ultimately going to end up with is they're going to end up with an MMO that is going to be first person based, and it just basically take, World of Warcraft or Elder Scrolls Online, since you guys have been dabbling in Star Trek Online, and, bring that kind of first-person experience to RuneScape, streamline the skills and whatnot. Because if you look at World of Warcraft or you look at any of those other games, you don't have combat or skilling where you're sitting in a bank for hours making potions. You just don't have that.
No.
They're all focused around the raids, aren't they?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a lot of focus around story, lore, questing, and skills are there, but skills are there to support your questing and combat and raids. You know what I mean? Like, that's all there to support. It has a clear identity, whereas we don't really. We kind of have this fractured, PVM versus elite PVM versus skillers versus questers, like these are much more cohesive, I think, everything. And they can do that when they're starting fresh. Like they can build something that would be cohesive like that. So.
Yeah. And I think you also have to look at the fact Mod Mark is on it and all the combat people are on it. That's the biggest tell for me that it's going to be something focused around combat, and in particular probably true raids, right?
Yeah, I mean that would be cool. Well, in a lot of those games, like if you take ESO for example, if you left click, that's your auto attack, right? So if that's swinging your sword, that's attacking once, but you still have your bar of abilities or different whatever you want, right? And you can use your different mouse buttons for those, your keys, what have you. And whereas you use like your right click as a defense, throw up a shield, what have you. So they could keep a lot of what they have developed when it comes to EOC and just put it in a modern perspective.
Oh, and also the models too, like all the armor models and whatnot.
Yeah.
Like they are high quality models that we have in game now, and those could easily be scaled up. So, I think that that's largely the direction they're going to be going. Because, you know, Mod Mark and the combat people, and look at what Mod Mark said at Game Jam. He called it the unannounced MMO, and all of his Game Jam ideas, which I was a huge fan of, I don't know if you guys were, but all of his ideas at Game Jam were bringing RuneScape back to its core. And if that's what you're talking about at Game Jam, that's what's going to be bouncing around in your mind. And that's what you're likely working on.
But that would be antithetical to what we're talking about.
Not necessarily. You can still have shops that are valuable in a new first-person MMO.
Yeah, but in a first-person, I mean, RuneScape Core is OS. I mean, it's standing there trolling while you're fishing. You know what I mean? It's the your boss battle is a prayer flick. Ooh.
Like, okay, maybe I didn't mean that's RuneScape the core. Core then. Basically, what I meant is, you know, bringing it back so shops can be viable, because that was one of his things.
Oh, yeah.
And being that social, would be cool. Right? And
yeah,
if those things are in his mind, that might be something that you could do in the new MMO.
Yeah, that now that those things would align, you know?
Right. I mean, and that's what I was going for.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of people moving over to RS3, you know, if it's going to be a straight move over, you know, the fact you can move stuff over from RS3 to the new game implies that it's going to be a move like Classic to RS2 or RS2 to RS3. Mm-hmm. So if it's anything like we're talking about, which I think is more likely than what that website is talking about, you're not going to be able to do that.
Well, there's no going to be any point. It's going to be a different game.
Yeah.
Like you can't, you know what I mean? Like transfer to what? For what? It's not the same. It's a different game. Which is what I think it should be, because when you think about it, look at the models we would have now. So you have the OS model, which is Time Capsule, although it's not. But it is that style of gameplay, right, from way back. You have RS3, which is this modern style that we're used to. It's got the nice graphics, got the interfaces. It's still point and click. It's still everything that you love about RuneScape, but a little, you know, a little fresher, a little brighter. And this new MMO will be more of the action-based, the lore, the questers, the people that like that stuff. And you would have all these different platforms. So you're going to be catching people at all the ways that they like to play games. They like to play MMOs. To me, that would make way more sense than cannibalizing their own audience.
Yeah.
On a game
because people wouldn't change from RS3 if you know this was a completely new version like RS2 was. It was a massive change. So and you know, I think that's the one dimensional groupthink that emerges from websites like that, right?
Yeah, well, it becomes an echo chamber.
Yeah.
You know? And then it becomes like reinforcing an idea that everyone is kind of sharing, but then they're reinforcing that, and then here's the problem with that site. Any ideas to the contrary, they're going to get downvoted to you know, into oblivion, and you're never going to see that other perspective and go, oh,
you
want to
do a test?
That's a good idea.
You want to go post our ideas there?
We could try. I'm not going to be surprised if we get downvoted to oblivion.
Because, you know, it's completely against what people have in their minds because of that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And, you know,
I think we're right, though.
Yeah, I think we are, too. You know, we have talked about this. How long did we talk about that for? It was an hour, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, it was an hour. And
you have in this group, you had,
yeah,
I think, was Parnassius there?
I don't remember if it's Parnassius or RR Man. One of them I thought was there.
Yeah, one of those guys was there. We also had Sirion, who, you know, is familiar with the games industry. We had Tycho, who loves RuneScape lore. We had Dave, who has been around and has been critical of the community. And we had us. And, I mean, it it was a discussion, and we practically went everywhere with that. And this is where we're at right now. 10% chance of it being MOBA, 90% chance of it being what we just outlined to you. I'd say 1% chance of it being RS4, as that website has laid out.
Yeah, and I also think see, the reason that's coming now, see, this stuff it's been out there. You figured it out. I mean, you got to give Shady his credit, right?
Yeah. I was having trouble sleeping one night, and I was thought, okay, what this unannounced MMO? What is it? Let me actually get my handwritten note paper up, because that's a fun thing to look at. You remember that, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, it was back in May. I remember because I was on a camping trip.
And I messaged you with it.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was. I mean, and that was. I mean, it was exciting because I'm like, oh, he's on to something. You know, like he's got a trail here. You know, and it's so, like, where's this going to?
So, Mod Ollie was the senior game designer on the new MMO. Mod Deg is a game designer. Mod Dolan, who did NXT, is on QA. Mod Days is lead content designer, and Mod Mark is shepherding this. And Mod Ollie was on the team that did Telos, God Wars 2, Raids. Deg was on the team that did Shattered Worlds, The Heart, Raids, as well as maybe Tuska, but that could have been a combat update, right? Maybe.
Right.
Mod Dolan was in charge of NXT and QA on NXT and mobile. And Mod Days did Sliske's Endgame, which had a boss fight in it. Well, he was part of it, but he didn't do all of it. You know, that's a Mod Raven update. And Days also did Dominion Tower, Legacy Combat, and was in charge of EOC with people. So, I mean, you put all of this together, it doesn't signal another point-and-click MMO.
No, it doesn't. And where I was going with this is like, so we're ahead of the game, right? You way ahead of the game, but I think it's important to think of why this is blowing up right now.
And you know why that is?
Yes, I do. Because people love a conspiracy. We're not getting our updates because they're working on this new MMO.
Yes. And that's why Treasure Hunter and Patch Notes have been in the forefront. And, you know, they have reason for that, because that's what it was like in expansions. That's what it was like before NXT. That's what it was like before RuneScape HD and so on and so forth. But the people working on this are not content developers and haven't been content developers since back in January.
And the difference with that is we knew expansions. We knew what they were doing. We didn't know it was going to suck. But otherwise, we knew what they were doing. They wasn't a secret. They weren't like keeping it from us. We knew that there weren't going to be, you know, big updates during that time.
Yeah.
So, we'll find out when they're ready, I guess. But I don't look for a while.
Yeah.
To find out.
Here's what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen with this. You're either going to get an announcement in September that something is being worked on with a showcase at RuneFest.
Yep.
Or you're going to get a front stage talk at RuneFest with the announcement.
And who's going to be there front and center? That guy.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I think I made a good decision this year.
I think you did. I think you picked the right year to go.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll be, of course, watching all that. And you'll note that on this piece of paper that I'm showing to those of you guys watching the video version, I said unannounced MMO plus who else? And this was before I knew Mod Mark was on it.
Mm-hmm.
So there we go.
Well, yeah, because then you figured that out by just looking at someone's Twitter profile that had changed, right?
Yeah.
It was sneaky. I'm telling you, you're a journalist at heart, Shane. You're a journalist.
So, and, you know, it's for that reason I think the answers to these questions don't really matter here. But I'll just answer for the community here. I don't think the players would move to a potential RS4 if it does happen to be that, and the 1% chance that it will. Would we change? I mean, obviously we would need to change because, you know, I think that this podcast goes where the sane majority of players go. So,
yeah,
but
yep, I would agree.
All right. Anything else on that?
No, I think, I think we covered. Do you feel better? Feel like we got something off our chest here? We've been keeping quiet for a while.
Yeah, a little bit. So, before we move on to tech news, I'll just say that if you guys want to send your own questions in, you can do that. You can email questions@rsbnb.com. You can call or text 571-57BNB, which is 571-572-2632. Or you can leave us a DM on Twitter or an at mention as well on Twitter @RSBNB. But there's one more thing before tech news I want to do, and that is that I want to go through our Patreon page and, you know, just say a couple of thank yous right now with this, because, you know, Patreon has been wonderful to us, all of you guys supporting us on Patreon. So just like to take a moment to thank Adam T, Rory W, Cody T, Nora, Theory, and our two new subscribers this week, Kyle and Brock H. Thank you guys for the support. It means the world to us. If you want to find out more about what this Patreon deal is, you can head on over to patreon.com/rsbnb. And basically what we have is we have three tiers of support. For $1 a month, you'll receive a special mention on our show notes, and you help us fund the costs of hosting and production of RSBNB Update. We also have a $3 tier where you can receive a special VIP rank on Discord, a mention on the podcast the week you subscribe, and early access to our show notes. And for $5 a month, you get a shout-out on the podcast each and every week, and you'll get exclusive access to the outtakes we use for the clip show, in addition to all previous rewards. So all this can be found at patreon.com/rsbnb. And of course, we have also first published our first monthly bit this July. That was on the Evolution of Combat, which was an absolutely amazing show. Basically, the question is, where does EOC stand 6 years later, and what does it mean? We answered that question. We all learned a lot as well. So if these kind of nitty-gritty RuneScape subjects are of interest to you, that might be worth something looking into for yourself. You gain access to that for the bare minimum, $1 a month, if you so desired. We're also doing our video shows, as you can see. And we've also reached our tier of $45 a month for live shows, which means we will record RSBNB Update live, and that'll be starting up in August.
Oh, so wow.
That's going to be interesting.
Here we go. Here we go.
Because, you know, right now, if we mess up, we can edit that out.
Well, and where will that leave our clip show? Like, we'll have to gather them together and be like, oh, remember that one time when we were live and this happened?
Yeah, and I guess that's the purpose of Twitch clips, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah, so, exactly.
I look forward to seeing where all this goes.
Do that, Shane. If we're going to be live, we should be live on there.
Yeah.
Just look into that.
Yeah. And, you know, also with this, I'll just say that with our newest additions here at RSBNB Update, you can access the monthly bit on Patreon. You can access all the clips and all that at patreon.com/RSBNB. So,
yeah, thanks, guys. We really appreciate it.
Means the world to us. All right, so back in the news is Facebook this week.
Again.
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 Facebook stock drops roughly 20%, 19% to be precise. They lost $120 billion in value after it was revealed that they didn't hit their revenue growth target. $120 billion.
Boy, that's all the money that they probably just bought back their stock with all those tax cuts, huh? Now we're right back to...
They closed on Thursday at 176.26, and this erased the entirety of all the gains in 2018. Now, this is largely due to the earnings report that says that they didn't, you know, hit their growth targets. And I think anyone using the site can tell you that there aren't new people coming onto the website.
No. You know what this is, Shane?
What's that?
The tiny violin. And that's how much I care about Facebook losing money. It's playing a really sad song.
Yeah, and, you know, maybe this will be a bit of a wake-up call, because that's a lot. 20% is a lot for shareholders. And all you need to do is you need to just look at this graph of the shares for the year, and oh my God, it's just whoo, right off the cliff. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see ultimately when they come back from this. But, wow.
You know, I think people in general are backing away from Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah.
I think they've both become so antagonistic that – and we're so in our camps that we – especially with Facebook, right? Facebook has all of your friends and your family and the people that you know and you love and you don't want to dislike. But then the next thing you know, they put up a meme or something else and you're going, come on, man. I don't.
Just turn it off.
Yeah. and so I think people are like, you know what? I don't want to know what their views are anymore. I just want to know John because John was a cool dude. You know, like.
Yeah,
I don't want to know that he's in favor of X, Y, or Z. Pick your poison for that.
Yeah, and it comes from the fact that user growth was flat in the U.S. and Canada, and even declined in Europe. User growth.
Now, well, once it grows so far, it can only there's nowhere else to grow, right?
Right.
So,
and you know, it's a question of where do these companies go next?
Well, I know where they don't go if they're Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're not allowed in China, are they?
No.
No.
And I ultimately think that the issue at hand here is that they have become disconnected from the people that they serve, you know? When social networking and social media first came out, it was designed that you were going to be able to talk to one another and talk to the people around you. But in reality, what these people have become is they've just become tech giants, right? And
yeah.
And no one really cares for that at this point. No one really cares for that elitism of, you know, a huge corporate entity.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's okay with companies like Amazon because Amazon sells you things and you need stuff from Amazon, right?
Well, it was And it was supposed to be a way where you could stay in contact with people, you know, far away, and you could, you know, share things. It was never supposed to be like, oh, I get to be able to stay in contact with my friend that has been sent overseas right now. And in return, you get to spy and know everything that I do. That wasn't part of the deal. You know, that happened when they become this huge tech giant and they don't care. It was never supposed to be like, we're going to sell you everything and anything. It was supposed to be like, no, I want to tell my buddy happy birthday on his birthday so I don't forget. You know what I mean? Like, I couldn't send a card. I wrote something on Facebook. That's what it was supposed to be. And what it is now is, like I said, it's the crazy uncle at Thanksgiving that is sitting there saying a lot of things that you're like, oh my God, please, like, you know, and we're being spied on by him. And people's gotten to the point, I think, where they're just like, we're done. We're not, you're not going to get more out of us.
Their perception was also hurt by the Cambridge Analytica thing.
Oh yeah. That was
but
terrible.
Anyone who, you know, looked into Facebook permissions or the privacy policy or has written an app for Facebook knows that that was indeed possible.
Well, it's possible, but okay, when it comes to any of those agreements, we know basically –
you scroll through them and that's it.
Even if you read it, even if you can read it, even if you know enough legalese that you can read it, here's the thing. What are you going to do? Not have it? I mean, that's your choice.
Yeah.
Is to either not have it or you sign it away. We know we're getting screwed every time we click. I agree. Like, it's not, I don't think it's like people don't know. I think we might not know the details. We know we're getting screwed somehow, but what's the alternative is to basically not have it. And we don't, and there's nothing to replace it. There's no competitor. There's, you have no choice.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do? Go, was MySpace still around? Is that a 2002 thing or?
I don't know. Email, you know, works.
Yeah, like, well, yeah, I mean, there's email, but yeah.
So.
Could write letters, you know.
Oh, boy. That would take a long time to get there, though. Dear RSBNB update, I have a question in response to episode 681. It is now September of 2018 when Shane is reading this on the podcast. Yeah, there we go.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah. Oh, well, I'm fine with Facebook being down there, and I don't think there's anyone I know that is actually happy with the company. So,
no, hey, maybe this will be an opportunity for someone to come along and unseat them.
Fingers crossed.
Never know. At least give us some competitors, you know?
Yeah. Okay, next piece of tech news is an interesting story with Google and Google's own internal security. So, you know, Google announced this week that they have zero phishing attempts on their employees internally because they make them use hardware-based security keys for two-factor authentication. And, you know, Google put out this press release saying, hey, we don't get phished internally. And, you know, this is because we use two-factor authentication keys. And as you guys know, if you listen to our account security episode, basically what this means is that you have an authenticator in an application on your mobile phone in some cases, or as Google has now, a physical key that gives you a 6-digit number, and you enter this number along with your password, and then that basically secures your account from being logged into, even if they had your password. Now, it was a little bit suspect because Google announced that, hey, we don't get phished, but this week Google also announced that they're launching their own hardware-based security keys for two-factor authentication. These are going to be called Titan Security Keys and will go up against other keys from companies like Yubico, who make something called the YubiKey. And the idea behind this is that it will basically allow you access to all of your accounts with the single press of a button. And, you know, Google is bringing out their own option because they have their Google Authenticator and whatnot. And, you know, I think that this could be the push that's needed to get these out in the mainstream, because right now the only people who have them are people who really want, you know, the ultimate in terms of two-factor authentication. They don't work with all the websites and whatnot. So this could be a gigantic stepping stone for this. There'll be two versions, one that'll have Bluetooth support for mobile devices and one that plugs directly into the USB port. And basically you plug them in and Google will have a little button on there that you press with your finger, and it'll basically say, hey, this person is real. Let them log in to their account. And, you know, Yubico was the main company who was involved in these kind of keys. So it's interesting seeing Google step forward and, you know, pick up the mantle of this. Because, you know, if you can secure your Google account, why not, right?
Oh, right. Is there a reason to use one of their keys over your phone?
Well, they're brand new. Okay. They're brand new. These keys are brand new. And, you know, the way...
But what does it do like your phone doesn't, though, with the Authenticator app?
Well, basically, the Authenticator app and, you know, your phone with text messages and whatnot, they will send you a 6-digit key. Whereas these, you know, you actually plug into your computer and then you just press the button on the key instead of retyping the code.
Oh, okay. So someone would have to have your key to and your password and... Your youth, okay.
That's right. Whereas with, you know, two-factor authentication on your phone, you just have the keys and you have to enter those in. So it's a lot more robust, I'll say, and it's just going to be a question of if other people are going to pick this up. And now that Google is selling this, I would say that people who are involved in, you know, security and whatnot, or even for people who have Google Apps accounts and whatnot, this will definitely be something to look into. And, you know, they have a try it for free option where you can sign up and gain access to this right now. So it'll be interesting to see how much it actually costs when it finally arrives. So
if this is Google, will this only handle Google, or will this do all of your two-factor authentications?
Right now it will only handle the Google ones, because it will be an entirely new platform going forward for these things. Whereas right now, you know, you can have that two-factor auth and use it on, you know, practically everything, right?
Yeah, I mean, if it did everything, then I'd be much more likely to buy it. But just for Google,
it's one step forward, and you know, in some ways, one step backwards as well, because it's linked to it's linked to the physical keys. So if a website doesn't support a physical key, you're not going to be able to use it.
Right.
But and the main point to this is that it's, you know, it's out there, and these keys have been around for a number of years. It's just a question of getting someone behind it, like Google, to actually do it and push it forward. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're making progress. I'd never heard of such a thing before. So the mere fact that they're doing it brings it to my attention.
Yep.
I didn't even know they existed.
Yeah. All right. Last piece of tech news now is certainly an interesting one. And, you know, Apple is in the news again. And, you know, I don't know if they deserve this coverage or not. But basically, Apple brought out their newest MacBook Pros that we talked about a few weeks ago. And the very high end, the i9 version of these MacBook Pros, were experiencing CPU throttling issues to the point where these new $3,500 plus laptops were being outperformed by hardware from the previous year. And many people were really, really upset when they bought these. And
I would be pissed.
Yeah. Like, here it is. Here's the examples right now. The 2017 Core i7 MacBook Pro took 90 minutes to encode this 4K video file. The 2018 Core i9 video took 80 minutes to encode before it was fixed, but after they fixed the throttling issues, it went all the way down to 72 minutes. So as you can see there, this was a huge performance issue on these machines.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't particularly anticipate many people in the audience have the new MacBook Pro out there, but this is just a general thing to be aware of today when you're buying any kind of laptop that is not, you know, just a basic, let's just say, entry line model. Because any laptop that is sufficiently advanced and, you know, has its own GPU and it has its own high-powered CPU is going to have algorithms and software running on it to ensure that it stays cool and it governs the CPU. So this is something that could be an issue for any company, from Apple all the way to Dell and HP. So I just thought it was an interesting piece of news because, you know, we often put this huge emphasis on the CPU in our computers. But as we can see here, this was indeed a software issue. And software and CPU these days are just so intertwined together that one can cause problems with the other. And when Apple shipped these, you can look at the graphs here and you can see factory pre-patch on just how how low the power was running on these CPUs, really scraping the bottom of what would have been acceptable. So,
well, and they surely knew that before it was shipped. So why didn't they patch it before it went out?
Well, they didn't know, but people, when they were, you know, running them and whatnot, definitely realized it, and they basically just attributed it to a software issue in the operating system.
I don't know if I buy that. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I always feel like the people that the engineers at Apple are the best of the best, and there's no way that they didn't. There's no way that somebody there didn't know it or see it. They got caught. Let's just say what happened. People noticed it. They got caught, and they had to fix it. I mean, what do you think, Shane? There's no. I mean, these guys are good. You really think something like that got by them?
I can see it happening. I mean,
really?
Yeah. Okay. You know, you can make changes to an operating system and have changes in an entirely different area that you don't anticipate. So obscure bugs like this can happen. On the other hand, just for comparison's sake, I will say that the battery issue that we had with the iPhones in the past and that throttling, that was shady. I will say that was shady. as well as, you know, just limiting the performance of people's devices. If they had a bad battery and not telling anyone, that was shady. This, you know, was fixed quick enough that I don't think it was a intended issue, let's just say. So.
All right.
You ready to move on to our final segment where we talk about other things, Skill of the Month?
Yeah. Who's leading that? Let me take a guess.
Sorensen 57, first place, 53.6 million XP gained. Second place, Parnassius with 27.1. And third place, Jamo with 3.8. But you can sign up for the August Skill of the Month, which is Construction. I'm sure lots of people want to spend money on that.
Ooh. Well, you might have a chance. I mean, if Thorson doesn't want to spend money on it. Otherwise, you're probably screwed. Just saying.
You can sign up at rsbnb.com/skotm. You don't need a form account to sign up anymore. Just enter your RS account and prove you're not a robot, and you should be able to sign up for that. So look forward to seeing who ultimately signs up for this and decides to throw their money down for this competition. So
Prawn Brokers, inside tip.
Hey, that works. Yeah, that works. That works. Oh, boy, do we have a list of achievements this week.
Wow, we have lots and
what
lots
do we
of
got?
Achievements. Well, starting on July 25th, we have Murrowitch with 99 Herblore, and Dom the Mexican with 99 Mining, and Dom the Mexican with 99 Farming, and Dom the Mexican with 99 Magic. And then we have this guy, Shane12088 with 99 invention. Nice job there,
yeah,
buddy.
It happened.
Yeah, you did it. You did it. All right. There you go. And we also have Gunship with 99 Thieving on the 23rd, and Dom the Mexican with 99 Ranged on the 23rd, and Sinver with 99 Fire Making on the 22nd.
Wow. Amazing. Good job, everyone. Continuing on the 21st, we got Dr. Quest with 99 Attack, and then we got a whole string here by someone who is from the occult, or I'll just say his name is occult, who got 99 cooking, fire making, rune crafting, fishing, farming, crafting, construction, mining, thieving, agility, hunter, slayer, woodcutting, dungeoneering, divination, fletching, and herblore, all on July 21st.
Damn!
And if that...
That's not the record, though, is it?
No, that is not the record, I don't think. I think someone actually maxed on the show before.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And if that wasn't good enough for you, we have Nighthog with 99 Mining also on the 21st. Dr. Quest with 99 Constitution on the 20th. 1234 We're Cool with 99 Dungeoneering on the 18th. And Mama Mystic with 99 Ranged on the 18th as well. Congratulations, everyone.
Very good. Good job.
Amazing yes. achievements and this week.
Look and see what happens when you mess with the occult.
All right. What do you got for a pick of the week this week?
This week I have No Man's Sky. Don't groan. Bear with me, people. Okay. So we all know the whole story and what became the meme of No Man's Sky 2 years ago was launched. And there have probably been very few games that had a hype train like it, and it crashed into a brick wall, right? A lot of features were missing, so on and so forth. Well, over the last 2 years, there have been some steady updates and content being added to the game. On Tuesday, we had No Man's Sky Next. This is the biggest update that the game has had since its launch, and this coincides with Xbox One users being able to now be able to purchase the game and play as well. this brought in multiplayer, well, four-player co-op, but that's actually the kind of multiplayer you want, right? Where you can limit, you don't have to deal with riffraff. So we have multiplayer, we have, you know, much smarter AI, graphical changes, everything that you thought wasn't there before that was promised is there now. And so it's the pick of the week because I think we need to give credit to companies that don't take the money and run and actually keep developing and follow through. Yes, they were late. Yes, it was rocky. But they stuck with it. And we do have a really good game now. It has a story. Like I said, it's got you know, you can play with
your friends. This is a game where you can land on any number of planets, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's a huge universe. And you can build together. Like, you can build these huge bases together, and you can build anywhere, and, you know, underwater, in mountains, and, like, all this stuff. You can trade. You can buy frigates now. You can buy capital ships. You can... There's so much, like, the depth that, you know, when one of the criticisms that No Man's Sky had when it first came out was that it was a mile wide and an inch deep. I'm telling you now, it's a mile deep.
Yeah, because this is the game that had issues where, you know, when people first got it, they weren't able to, you know, they would go to a planet. They would tell someone where that planet was, and other person would go to that planet, and they wouldn't see them there.
Yeah, exactly.
And then
exactly.
I assume that one has been fixed.
Yeah, we have multiplayer now, real okay. Multiplayer. So you can – I think it's like up to a four-person – it's either four or 16. It's up to a certain number of players that you'll be able to see. After that, then they'll show up as orbs. But, okay. You know, it's – I think it's – it's good, and it needs to be acknowledged that they I mean, there's so many people that take the money and run on a you know, a Kickstarter or something like that. And they could be retired on an island right now with their feet up sipping mojitos, you know? But they didn't, they stuck with it, and I commend them for that. And it's
amazing,
a
website
really good
too.
Game. Yeah, I mean, it's a good game, guys. Like, if you bought it, if you didn't return it, give it a try. And honestly, it's worth the price now. It really is.
And what's that price?
That I don't know, Shane. I'm guessing it's probably $50.
Oh, never mind. I got it on Steam. Yeah, I got it on
okay.
Steam.
Okay, cool.
It's actually on sale until the 30th of July, 50% off on Steam.
Oh, wow. That's a steal, guys. That's a steal. If you don't have it, pick it up. If you like space, if you like chill games, not walking simulators, but like just chill, you know, do that. And you know, there's different levels of difficulty now. So like if you have a survivability mode, right? So and on survival mode, it's survival mode. Like, it's really difficult. And then you have your normal mode, which, you know, is less it's not as punishing. And then you have a mode that is just basically like a sandbox mode, like free exploring and free building. You know, you don't have to gather your resources and all that kind of stuff. But this thing has been overhauled from the ground up. I mean, everything from how you fuel your ship to alien AI to just everything has been redone, and it's really, really good now.
And I'm going to actually point people to a new feature on the Steam website. And, you know, you go to the reviews for No Man's Sky, and it says high volume of reviews detected July 25th through 27th. And you can see that here, that on the 26th of July, there were 1,302 positive reviews, 261 negative. And you can see that they are overwhelmingly positive, where on the other side of the spectrum, if you go all the way back to the very beginning and you sort that through, you'll see just how bad the reviews were at the beginning.
Yeah, it was not good.
and, you know, yeah. when you move this range, this little slider here, it changes the reviews for that period. So you're not just getting the most recommended review of all time. You're getting the recommended review for the month of July, which I think if you're buying this game is what you want. So,
yeah.
You know, this is just also a bit of a, you know, a bit of a PSA to people out there who are, you know, using Steam and looking at buying games. You can actually see where all the reviews come in, and you can see, you know, what mm-hmm. is the recent talk. And you can see ever since they shipped the update, all of the reviews have been positive, practically.
Yeah, and that will help you sort out, like, you know, we've seen things get review bombed before because, well, really there's not much recourse for people.
Yeah.
So if a company does something that they don't like, it may have nothing to do with the game whatsoever, but they'll go review bomb that game to kind of send a message. And so it's good that you can actually see that now on Steam, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, that's 50% off on Steam. I wonder if it's the same price on the Xbox and PS4.
I don't know.
Let's see, Microsoft that, yeah. Store. No, not on sale right now on the Xbox.
Well, it just launched on 24 okay. for Xbox. So, but yeah, give it a try, guys. It's a good game.
It is on sale on the PS4 for 50% off.
Okay. Well, and see, it launched with PlayStation and PC. Yeah. Actually, PlayStation came out first. PC came a couple weeks later.
Nice. But, nice.
Yeah.
All right. What have you been up to on RS?
I have been collecting energy.
Of course. I mean, what else are we doing these days, right?
Well, I'm getting so close to having my Nox set back.
Back,
which is
going
to be pretty cool to say, like, I got my Nox set from Poppin' Bubbles. I mean, it's one way
to
do it.
Where did
it
go?
Right?
Did you disassemble it or?
Yeah, I'm wearing it on my back. It's in the shape of a prayer 120 cape.
Oh, I see.
Okay. Yeah.
Why would you get 120 prayer?
Because it's baller. Like, do you see very many 120 prayers out there?
No.
Exactly.
No,
it's baller,
okay.
Man.
All
yeah.
right. Fair enough.
Yeah. So that's why. But because all my friends have, like, all kinds of 120s, but very few have 120 prayer. So, you know.
Yeah,
no,
that makes
do
sense.
It,
you know, try yeah. and be distinct, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, something.
I really, you know. Yeah. And, you know, when you say it that way, I really do want to go, you know, push forward on the 120 Herb Lore goal. So.
Oh, yeah. That, well,
like,
that,
you know, okay. If we had RS Mobile right now, I could be AFKing energies while I'm on the show.
Oh, totally. Totally. Yeah, for sure.
But, you know, as it is right now, I don't have enough CPU power to do that because of that new invention known as OBS and Skype.
It's not OBS, man. It's Skype.
It's both. It's both. It's the plugins we're using, Tanis.
Okay. Well, yeah. Okay. That's fair. But, I mean, my OBS doesn't really take a whole lot going on.
Yeah. I mean, the encoding is fine. The encoding is being done on the GPU. But anyways.
We're going down a rabbit hole.
Yeah,
right?
We could go down a rabbit hole.
Right. Other than that, what did I do? I did something else this week. I don't remember now. I did something else.
Okay.
Yeah. I lost it. Sorry.
All right.
What have you been up to, Shane?
Well, as for me, last week we recorded early, and, you know, because of that, that's because I was actually taking a little vacation out to the mountains out west, which is absolutely amazing. If anyone ever does get a chance to come on up to Canada, just come to Alberta. It's the best province in Canada because, you know, you have the prairies and then you have the Rocky Mountains right there. So probably the best views in North America, if not the world. So. I did that, got back late Saturday. But after that, you know, as you mentioned on the show, I did get my 120 invention, which, I mean, what was coming. And you know what was really amazing about that to me?
Is that?
I'm 100K away from level 100 invention now, just from researching all the, you know, the little blueprints mm-hmm. that you get at 99 and whatnot. So I have
Very
a feeling
cool.
the XP curve is going to be a lot easier going forward.
It is much better. And you're not far from the old Divine-O-Matic now.
That's right. So, that's right.
Yeah, he'd be cruising.
The Suck-O-Matic or Divine Hoover, as we called it in the past. But beyond that, you know, just doing potions and – well, not potions, herb runs and grape farming. You know, I do have the liquid assets now that I can invest in grapes or grape seeds. So.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. A Ceridoman brew, Super Ceridoman brew flask 6 is 122K on the exchange at right now.
Holy. Wow. Wow. Good time to be a farmer, huh, Shane?
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Just wish there was a chance to get rid of the Guthix grapes.
Yeah. And you didn't even need a subsidy from Jagex to make your farming profitable. Yeah,
that's
pretty cool. All right.
But also, I do want to talk about something else I did this week. And this is something that, I've been wanting to do for a long time. And that is write the Informer article on recording RSVNB Update. So if you've ever wondered how RSVNB Update is recorded, this is something you want to read at informer.rsvnb.com. And I'm just going to read one paragraph here from this. And it starts off by saying, "The most important thing to understand when it comes to podcasting is that a podcast setup can be as simple or as complex as you need it to be. It can be as simple as a couple people sitting around a microphone chatting. It can also be as complex as harnessing the power of a studio that rivals that of CNN. Our current setup sits in the middle after having moved from simple to slightly more complex over the years." And I didn't talk about the video side of it because we're still, you know, progressing along through with that, and it might change.
It's in its infancy.
Yeah. But what I do highlight in here is I highlight the diversity of microphones that you can pick up. There's a Logitech H390 USB headset, which is $40 if you just want to guest on a podcast. That will get you done. If you want to guest on a podcast and play games as well, there's the SteelSeries Arctis 5 and Arctis 7, which are the headsets that Brad, Sirion, and Earth use. If you want a dedicated podcasting mic, there's one called the ATR2100 USB. And all the mics I've recommended are dynamic microphones, not condensers, because dynamic microphones typically have better pickup patterns and they don't pick up the room noise around you. So that's typically where I go with these microphones. Then on the high end, I have one such as the Rode Podcaster, which is a USB-based broadcast microphone. Once again, another dynamic microphone with a good pickup pattern. Lots of podcasters use this. This one will require an investment of like a stand and a shock mount and basically a little bit more complex setup. And then all the way at the top is the Heil PR40, which is a studio microphone. And do not invest in this one unless you are willing to invest in external hardware and you are doing more than one podcast. That is the only reason I bought this microphone. So.
Very cool.
But if you want to learn more about how all this intertwines with the software and hardware side of it too, I got that on here, from how the mixer is set up to the way the iMac is set up, why it's an iMac and why it can't be a Windows computer for this very purpose. So all of that and more can be found at informer.rsvnb.com. So.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, and you know, maybe in 6 months' time there will be another one on how the video setup works once we iron that out and settle on something permanent. So,
right. Yeah.
But I believe that's it for this episode of RSVNB Update. You have anything else?
That's everything I got.
All right. Well, with that being said, we'll see you next week for another episode of RSVNB Update. And if you want to chat with us in game, you can find us at friendschatbitsbytes. We're also on Twitter at RSVNB if you want to see what we're up to throughout the week. And remember, don't forget to check out that Patreon account at patreon.com/RSVNB, where we have a first monthly bit, as well as all the little clips from the podcast that get split out. So see you next week, everyone.
See ya. Take care.